Thank you for checking out the City Church podcast today. Our prayer is that this message stirs your affection for Jesus Christ. City Church exists to lead people far from God into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And today we hope that you can take one step closer in your relationship with Christ. Wherever you are listening from, we hope you enjoy today's message.
Wow, 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 wow. Thank you guys. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Good, 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 good. I did not know. I've been here 6 months. Wow. Had no clue. Hey, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah, that wasn't supposed to happen. Just really super excited to be here, man. Grateful. Thank you, Ryan.
I might not be the guy.
He said I might not be the guy.
Sorry.
Yeah, you can screw that in. Yep. Yeah.
Right here?
You
got it?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Yeah, lift that. Yeah, he's right. He wasn't the guy. Yeah, he was the guy. That's good. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, man. Anybody still excited about Jesus?
Amen.
All right, all right. It sounds like it. It sounds like it. Man, just grateful to Mike. Grateful to God and to Mike for the opportunity to stand in front of you guys. I don't take it lightly at all, because as leaders, and as teachers, you guys are making decisions based off of the things that we say. Whew. Life decisions based off of what you hear us say. So that's weighty, that's heavy. And oftentimes I don't want that responsibility, but such is life. Such is life. If you have your iPads, iPhones, MacBook, proverbially something I.
Amen.
something I Android, if you absolutely have to. Yeah, Matthew chapter 13, starting at verses 53, we'll read down to verse 58. When you got it, say, I got it. Guess nobody has it yet.
Got it.
All right, now that you have it, let's all stand. And for the reading of the word. Y'all got it?
Got it.
All right, there we go, there we go. 53, now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I left it out at 10 o'clock, but the title of the message is, I can't work under these conditions. I can't work under these conditions. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. We're grateful for your presence, God. We're grateful for a place to worship, God. Just a place to exalt your name, God. Now as we dig into your word, please be with us, be with me. Let me deliver what it is that you would have me to say, God, and just give us all some clarity, and just cause us to think. This is a cerebral faith. Cause us to think, God. And we thank you, we bless you, and you'll get all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I can't work under these conditions. So for me, the conditions that make it difficult to work is this fluctuating weather. I mean, it's 40 degrees in the morning and it's 74 degrees in the evening, in the afternoon. So I'm not sure how to dress. You know, I'm wearing tank tops, a trench coat, a baseball hat, a Scully. Because I never know what it is I may need to take off. So, and then the other thing is, like, you know, I work with my hands, you know, I'm a barber. So it's like, when I come to work, oftentimes because of what has happened in the night, the place is really cold. So when I get to work, I'm not really ready to start work because I'm still cold. I mean, my hands are cold, my extremities are cold, and I just don't feel like it. And the opposite kind of, same thing, but it kind of happens a little differently when I come to church, because for me, personally, when I come in here, I'm hot. Like, it's too hot in here. So I'm less likely to do what it is that's required. Well, what is it that's required when we come to church? Well, we lift our hands, right, in the sanctuary. You know, we praise God, we clap our hands. We do all those things. But if I'm hot, I'm less likely to wave a hand or clap. You know, you might get a wave, but I'm going to be reluctant to do what's required because of the conditions of the environment. But regardless of the conditions of the environment, I don't want to do that again. Regardless of the conditions of the environment, it doesn't make the work that's necessary any less necessary. Things won't always be perfect, but the work will still be required. That making sense?
Yes.
Yeah, it won't always be perfect, but it'll the work will always be required. I'm a line-by-line kind of guy. So we're going to deal with five verses, 53 through 58, and then we're going to go home and do the football chicken wing thing.
Come on!
Right? Okay, so, the work is still necessary. So if you notice, like, we jump right into the text. Jesus kind of deals with the same thing. So what Jesus is experiencing, and by matter of fact, what the people wound up experiencing, is the inability of God to do exceedingly and abundantly more. Not because he was incompetent, but there was an unbelief issue in the house. Okay. And the thing with unbelief is that God will reserve his power whenever there's unbelief present. What I mean by that is God makes a decision to not be a magician in the moment, to not try and prove anything to cause you to believe, because God doesn't respond to need. God responds to faith.
Amen.
Okay, let me make it make sense. So, two thieves on the cross with Jesus. One says, "If you are the Christ, free yourself and free us too." The other thief says, "Please remember me when you get to your spot in heaven." What does Jesus say to the guy that asked him to remember him when he gets to heaven? "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." What does he say to the other thief? Nothing. He doesn't respond to need. He responds to faith. He responds to what you already believe. So oftentimes, we often have a laundry list of needs, but we don't believe God for any of them. And we wonder why he's not moving. Because it's not based on need, faith, right? It's based on faith. So got an unbelief issue in the house. God reserves He reserves his power. He doesn't want to be a magician. He just waits, and he looks for somebody that believes. So he's back in his hometown. Jesus is like most of us. We have an affection for home. I can't wait to get home. Especially, he's out teaching. He's telling parables. He's performing works. He's doing all these things. And when he's done, Scripture says, he heads to his hometown. Now, this ought to be a celebration. I know he's super excited about being able to go home. I know I will be about being able to go home. So he gets to his hometown, and he begins teaching them in their synagogue. Now, I'm a word kind of person. So I believe when we understand the definitions of words, it just helps us in our understanding overall. Right? And Scripture tells us that nothing in Scripture is wasted, not even a tittle. And a tittle is a little tail on the comma, you know what I mean? A little thing. Not even that goes to waste. So I'm looking at the fact that he comes to his hometown, but he's teaching them in their synagogue. So the issue that I'm having is the fact that what is it that's going on in the synagogue that makes it theirs and not God's? What's happening? Sometimes we do the same thing, right? It's because of our disposition. It's because of the sin in our life. And when I say sin in our life, I'm not talking about the overarching sin, you know, the big three, if you will, right? I'm not talking about those. I'm just talking about the simple fact that all sin is the fact that God has a standard and we miss it. Day after day, we miss it. We wake up. As soon as we open our eyes, we're sinning. Yeah, there's 10, but if you look in the Bible, there's over 600 commandments, right? So we miss it. So because of sin in our life, because of our skewed perspectives of God, we'll turn his synagogue, we'll turn his church into our synagogue. We wind up doing whatever it is that we want in the house of God as if it's ours. But the Bible says the earth is the Lord's in the fullness. So there's everything in it belongs to him. But we treat it like ours. Can y'all understand his plight? So his natural affection for home. Why is there a natural affection for home? Well, I got family members that don't know Jesus. I got friends, old running buddies, that don't know God. So with understanding and growing in a relationship with God, I'm not anxious, but I'm excited to get to them because I want to share with them what I now know. Well, that's not always met with open arms, right? It's not always met with open arms. Sometimes, oftentimes, that creates issues. It creates an issue because we thinking about what Pastor Mike just came out of the time series, I'm believing that most of us understand and have shifted our perspective as it relates to time, and now we've began to organize things and prioritize things in the way they should be, because we know that we can't produce time, but we're always losing time. So because of that, I need to make sure that I'm doing what I should be doing at the time that I should be doing it. That makes sense? So we need to be a little more mindful, and hopefully we've become a little more mindful of the time. And we've created some long suffering for God. We've created some long suffering from God. He's saying, wait, God suffers? Well, I think God suffers long as it relates to us to finally get our things together, get our minds right, get our behaviors in line. And we cause God to suffer long. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful, right? That he didn't give up on me at my first refusal. Because how many people have God been pulling on you to do this, get this done, stop doing this, don't do that anymore? But again, we refuse it, but God still keeps coming. He still keeps coming. And man, if it wasn't for that, I'd still be where I used to be, right? I'd still be where I used to be if he wasn't always knocking, right? So he shows up, verse 53, he shows up in their synagogue. But they don't recognize who he is. They know he's Jesus. Well, no, they don't know he's Jesus. They know him as the carpenter's son, your unwed mother, right? Mary, they know your unwed mother. They know your brothers and sisters that are still there in the same spot, who's never tried to do anything different. They're all here with us. So where did you, young man, get these things? So initially they were astonished, but now we see, once the astonishment passes, now we see a fence starting to build, right? Because Jesus is talking, they like what he's saying, but the word cuts both ways. And now he's making them aware of the fact that the word is making them aware of the fact that change is in front of you. Will you receive the change? You have access to change, but will you believe? Conditions that Christ is unable to work. Condition. I think some of those conditions is about how he was being viewed by the people. These weren't just regular people. Like, these were his people, like his relatives. Those who were, who had the greatest opportunity to get to know him because of the relationship, was unable to see who he really was. So the kingdom shows up. And we know when the kingdom enters, there's always an opportunity for change. There's always an opportunity to get better. But they don't take advantage because they knew him beforehand. They knew him beforehand. Because what happens? Familiarity. Familiarity caused a problem. Because of the way in which they viewed him. They viewed him as a possibility as opposed to an absolute. Don't we do that all the time? I know I've done it. And I do it. So I believe that God is in all things, even the small things. The things that we think that we would rather handle on our own, I think he's in that too. So I say, hey, God, oh man, I can't find my belt. Can't find my belt and I got to go. Can't find my belt. Where's my belt? Holy Spirit is like, it's over there. Yeah, I know, but let me look here first. Holy Spirit is like, it's over there. I heard you the first time, but let me just check over here to make sure that it's, that you're wrong. I want to make sure that you're not wrong. But what I'm saying is we go through a lot of stuff unnecessarily if we would just yield to the voice. We just hear the voice and do what he says.
Preach it.
It's hard though, right? Because we're in this flesh and we're human. So, and then we have this thing called free will. And then we think we're smart. Even smarter than the Holy Spirit, right? I know what you told me it was, but you, let me check. Right? So John 14:6 says, Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. And I'm the life. Like, I'm the way. You can get it done through me. I'm the truth. I promise I'm not lying to you. And I'm the life. If you do what I, if you take my way and believe what I say, then you'll have this life that's attractive and that will draw other people. And it ain't just for you. It's to draw others, right? So he's in here now. We're in 55. So here's the thing. So I'm looking at this. So who's he there with? It's okay. Y'all can talk. Who's he there with?
The whole family.
Thank you. The whole family. So you got somebody who seemingly, scripture's unclear about it, but seemingly is not family, saying to all the family, is this not the carpenter's son? They're family. They know who he is. Is this not the carpenter's son? What about the rest of them? They're all here with us. What makes him so special? Seeking to discredit what's standing before them. But the issue that I have with this is the fact that nobody stood up for him. Nobody stood up for him. His brothers and sisters, you can kind of accept that a little bit, right? Like, a little bit. Like, they probably were harboring something. You can kind of, how he get to leave, we had to stay. You never know. But his mom, that's your mom. Like, your mom is going to defend you even when you're wrong. But the mom doesn't say anything. Nobody says anything. That's the danger when you're in and under traditional rule. I'm not bashing tradition because all tradition isn't bad. But when tradition hinders kingdom progress, now it's problematic. Now it's problematic. So what happens? Because they knew him. Not only do I know you, I know your people. They all here with us. Where are you getting this stuff from? Sidebar. My nose is running 10 o'clock service, right? So I'm like, hey, can somebody get me a tissue? There were SOS out there. And Josh A, I don't know where he is. He gives me this, these tissues that say, God bless you on them. I thought that was like the coolest thing, right? Appropriate. So now when somebody sneezes, I just go. Right? That was cool. Thank you, Josh. I don't think I said that first service. First experience. Yeah. Good. So because they know him, because they think they know him, familiarity breeds contempt.
That's true.
So if you look up the word contempt, one of the definitions for it is disapproval. So because I know you and I know your background, I know a little bit about you, I don't approve of what you're doing right now. Not to say you're doing something wrong. I don't approve of your growth. I don't approve of your growth. So when you talk about time and how we begin to manage our time and how we start to trim fat in areas of our lives, just like when you sent me the message saying, hey, we got a lot happening, we need to do this. That's a leader, and that's taking ownership of your life by knowing what you can let go and knowing what you need to keep and getting rid of the things that don't serve you. Make sense? Yeah, so they live, they disapprove. Well, the other piece that's hanging us up is the fact that not only do sometimes people disapprove of us when we seek to take advantage and be intentional about our own life and our own growth, but just like in scripture, we live our lives in comparison of other people. So we live our lives in comparison to other people as if those people are the measuring stick. And we know God is the standard. So if Ryan does something, oh man, I see what Ryan did. Now I get that feeling. I need to respond in some kind of way because Ryan is doing something. Now I need to do it so that I can feel okay with me because I need to compare myself to Ryan, just figuratively speaking. I need to compare myself to Ryan because I live in comparison. And that's a problem. And it's so subtle. So subtle. We don't even realize it. That's why you see people in your neighborhood, you may have seen people get a new car. 4 days later, people across the street get a new car.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, they got a new lawnmower. You know what I mean? Like, everybody needs something new and shiny because nobody wants to feel left behind. Because I'm living in comparison. 12 minutes. Yeah. Yeah. So, to think, like, when we see something happening in that regard, it doesn't necessarily mean you should respond in a certain way or you should get something new as well, but it should cause two actions. It should cause you to either positively respond, or you should be inspired to respond positively, or cower in offense. And now that's the other piece. So we got familiarity. What's the second one? Comparison. Thank you. Somebody's listening. Familiarity, comparison. And now we're dealing with offense. So offense is tricky. Ryan and I were talking in the office over there. This is offense. What is this? Yeah. Yeah. this stand is offense. Now, for me to get this stand from here to the kids area, what do I have to do?
Carry it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Throw it. Depending upon who's standing over there, throw it, yeah. I have to take it. I got to take it. So offense has to be taken, which means I get the option to choose if whether or not I want to go to that party. You know what I mean? Like, offense has to be taken. It's not something that just falls on you. I have to choose it, right? I have to choose it. So because of what it was that Jesus was preaching, teaching, they chose to take offense of it. Now, here's the difficulty. Here's the difficulty with offense. Offense hinders two things. Offense hinders my transparency, but it also prevents me from revealing the true condition of my heart. Right? So if somebody says, hey, how are you? How are you today? You're like, oh, yeah, I'm good. But meanwhile, I'm offended. maybe not with them, but I'm walking in offense just overall. So I can't even garner enough courage to be real with God about the condition of my heart, which he already knows, because I'm offended.
Yeah.
I'm walking, offended. I'm worshiping, offended. I'm shaking hands, offended. I'm singing, offended. I'm teaching, offended. I'm preaching, offended. As if I can continue to do that and reap some positive gains in my life. But if I don't reveal what my heart is, what's really happening in my heart, God's not going to do it. Why? Because he reserves that change, that unbelief. He reserves his power, meaning he holds on to his power wherever there's unbelief present. He holds on to it. We're going to be done in a minute. Right? It hinders my transparency, and it causes me to serve. I'm offended and all that. So these were my notes right here. So Jesus has everybody shocked and amazed. And then I thought about the fact that anybody's family, old running partners or church family even, taken back when you know that you abide with the Father. Anybody having issues with relationship issues, not man, not boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, just relationship issues when people know that you've become serious about what God has said for you to do. When you've become serious, meaning they can see fruit in your life. They can see things changing in your life. Oh man, she's getting serious now. I can't fool with you, like you all sister such and much, and I can't. Right? Real living holy people, I can't really fool with you. And try to make you feel some kind of way, just like they did in the scripture. You know who you are, man. You live right over here. You live right down the hill. I know your people. They live right over there by you, Albany. I know them. Who are you? Why are you so special? Well, it's because of this relationship that I have with Jesus Christ, right? And this relationship I have with God through Jesus Christ. That's what makes me. I'm not special because it's no longer I who lives. It's the Christ that lives in me. So really, it's not me. It's not me. You only think it's me because you can see me. But it's really God that's doing the work in me. Now, don't have an issue with me because I could probably help you. I could probably help you a little bit, some kind of way, you know? But, offense won't allow you to say, hey, I need help. Yeah. Offense won't allow you to sit down and be humble. Sit down, be humble. Thank you. Sit down, be humble. It won't allow you to do that. It won't. So we can be offended. We can be doing everything right. We got our T's crossed. We got our I's dotted. But what good is it when we're in offense?
Yeah.
How do we continue to operate and serve other people when the Bible says if you have an ought, if you're offended with someone, if there's an offense, put your gift down. I mean, God don't even want your gift until you go make it right with that person.
That's right.
I don't know that we believe that, though. I don't know that we believe it. Because we continue to do everything in this with offense. Some of it you will have to do with it. But that which you know you can help change, why don't we try? Why don't we try? I got some issues. I got issues with two people in the church right now. Well, I didn't want publicly everybody to know that it was you,
okay.
But yeah. I thought we'd have been able to handle it offline. But yeah, we'll talk after service.
Okay. Okay.
But the point is, and I just use my experiences, right? The point is, you got to go to people. So we were at a staff meeting, I said something to Ryan, and people that don't know me, they don't know that, you know, a piece of my humor is sarcasm. So Ryan was sitting in his chair, kind of close to the bathroom door. And I went to go that way, and he says, hey man, am I in your way? I said, Ryan, you're in everybody's way. I was joking. But Ryan called me. He said, I think he called me. I don't know how it was, but we talked. He was like, hey, man, bro, we good. I just joke like that. But had he not done what the word says and went to his brother, that thing could have grew. That thing could have grew. Right? And now he's dealing with an offense that's about nothing. How many of us are dealing with offenses that are about nothing? Will you go and talk to the people that you're offended with? That's the challenge for the week. Everybody got somebody that you're offended with. Go to them. Put your gift down. Put your gift down. Why? Because God don't want it. Until you go make it right. He doesn't want it. So, we got first one. What was the first one? Familiarity. Second one. Comparison. Third one.
Offense.
Somebody got hype behind that. He's an offense. So, that and then, what's the last one? Say again? Okay, I'll take that. Making amends, right? Reconciliation. How do we combat these things that rear their head ever so slightly and so sneaky like, before you know it, you're in it, engulfed.
Matthew 18.
Yeah, it's in there. So, how do I combat it? Matthew 19.
Okay. Close.
Yeah, and that's the issue I wanted to talk to you about.
Ouch.
Ouch, right? I'm kidding. Matthew 19:26. He's having a conversation with the disciples. And prior to 26, one of the disciples says something, and he says, it's impossible. And Jesus says, look, scripture says, Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. So humanly speaking, right? Humanly speaking. So how many things do we try to do and try to fix and try to mend and try to make okay, but without God? Using our own human efforts, which may work a little bit in the beginning, but for the long haul, it doesn't sustain. Because only what you do for God will last. And with God, without the partnership, the issues don't get solved. The reconciliation doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. So, Hebrews 12:2, how do we combat it? We do it by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And he does so because of the joy awaiting him. He endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God. How do we combat it? This is a big one. How do we combat it? We don't worry about what they say. Whoever your they is. Younger people, young adults, there's a whole bunch of they. Because your peers are at work heavily. All the time. Not saying that they're intentionally trying to steer you in a direction you're not going. But when you worry about what they say, that means that their opinion carries weight.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It carries weight. And most times that weight will push down the thing you want to do, and you'll tend to side with what they say. Yep. With what they say. There's no shame or condemnation in Christ Jesus. Always allow Jesus to be your measuring stick. It's never a matter if you can. Mark 9:23. And I'm close with this. Jesus says to a disciple in Mark 9:23, He says, what do you mean if I can't? He asks him the question, what do you mean if? He says, anything is possible for those who what?
Believe.
The word says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? So that means I can do all things. I just don't have time to do all of them. So the challenge this week is check your list and then prioritize those things that you can do all of but only have time to do what's on your list. Find out what those things are. Anything is possible if a person believes. So I said this at 10. So, and here's how you know if whether or not you believe it. Because we believe, we do what we believe. It sounds crazy a little bit, but examine it in your own lives. We do what we believe. If you say you believe it, but you don't do it, that just means you're loosely acquainted with it. You're kind of familiar. But if I believe it, then I do it. In all areas, whatever those things are. So check. Let's close your eyes. Close your eyes by your head. If you believe it, then you do it. If you believe that Jesus Christ showed up in the synagogue of your life that may have been void of God, yet he showed up to correct, to help you correct. He showed up to rescue you. He showed up as Savior in the moment. You can receive this relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, right now. Amen. We don't make you come down front. We don't say anything. We don't have to say anything. You don't have to give a spiel. You ain't got to give your background and where you came from. And you don't have to do all that. God knows all that already. But what you do have to do is accept this free gift that he's offering you at this moment. Yes. It's real easy. Turn that light up a little bit because I can't see. It's real easy. All we ask you to do is slip your hand in the air for 2 seconds. Just long enough for me to see you, because it takes two to establish a thing. Is there one in the room? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you for this time, God. We thank you for just the fact that you're in present help in times of need. You're always available. You're always mindful of us. You're always looking. And you're willing to suffer with us long until we have the courage to make decisions. Thank you, Lord, for your word that you left, which does not divorce life and personality, but it incorporates all those things. And we're grateful for the fact that you're a very tangible God, and your word will outlive your name. That's what you said. So we thank you for that, God. If there's somebody in here who may not have raised their hand, you know what's necessary to get them to you, God. So keep working. Just keep working. It's in Christ's name. Amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope that you are encouraged and strengthened in your faith. For more messages from this series or other series, please visit us online at citychurchalbany.com. If you have been impacted by the message or ministry of City Church, please send us an email at info@citychurchalbany.com. We would love to hear your story. If you would like to partner with us financially, please visit us at citychurchalbany.com/giving. We hope that you have a blessed week.